come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Send an email. The Mighty House crew is on the job. This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. And today, we're going to talk about siding you don't want to put on your house. Because there's a lot of sidings out there. Some are good, some are bad. And we're going to talk about the ones you don't want to use. Before that, we get to that, let's dingle on the bell down there. Hit that subscribe button. And of course, you can always leave us a comment below. And eventually, we'll get back to answering them at some point. Sometime.
So,
there you go. All right. So let's get started with this. We run into every summer, we just go through and we're constantly having to tear things apart because one, siding's not being installed correctly, or two, it shouldn't be used in this climate that we're in. And some stuff that might be good for us to use may not be good for you to use in Florida. I don't know. So
you
know, we want to talk about that a little bit.
And we talk about that all the time is, you know, you watch all these really popular home improvement shows, right? HGTV and all that. And the majority of the shows are actually pretty good and they're good, but you must look at where they are. You know, you see a product or an installation, you're like, that's awesome. I want that at my house, but it may not be good for you.
Right.
So the products we're talking about, well, some of them are not even available anymore.
Yes, thankfully.
So what we're also talking about is if you're looking to move, you're looking to buy a home or a condo, these are some things you should really look at. If this is on that building, then I would say it's safe to assume that you're going to have an issue.
Yes.
So first thing we're going to start with is split face block.
Right.
So this here is it's a beautiful house and it has split face block on it. Now, we didn't build this house. These are photographs that I just lifted off the internet, so they're all public property. This split face block house, if this is a 4-inch thick split face block installed as a veneer over a wood frame wall with house wrap and a true flashing at the bottom with weep holes, this might be okay.
Correct.
My problem is if you look just to the left of the lamppost, it looks like 8-inch corners.
Right here, yes. I wonder if I can zoom in some more. Ooh, look at that. That does
look like 8-inch corners.
Yes.
So now if they did an 8-inch block wall and they put furring strips on it over an insulation board and then drywalled, what happens with split face block is when it rains, that block absorbs that water and simple thermodynamics, more to less.
Right.
So if it's dry inside the house, that water is literally pooled into the house. Believe it or not, your primer is considered a vapor barrier.
Right.
So that water is slowed down or worse, stopped at the backside of the primer on your drywall. What do you think is going to happen to the framing, to the drywall, everything? It's going to start getting moldy, rotty, and so on, right?
Right.
So that's a real bad issue.
A mold farm.
Yeah. Go to the next picture. Let's take a look at that piece of block.
So this
is what we're talking about. This is a very decorative product. And don't get me wrong, split face block has been around for a while. It's a great product for building warehouses, factories, things that want to look one way.
Yeah.
Allow moisture to transfer into the building and then out. You know, if I was building a new steel mill or something like that, I could use split face block, which gives me a nice look on the outside.
Yep.
But any moisture that transfers through that and gets to the inside is going to dissipate, right? The heat's going to pull it out, blah, blah. It's fine. It's not going to hurt anything. You don't want anything organic on the other side. And this happens to be a 4-inch block, which we're talking about for that house. Had that house been faced with this, it may be okay. But if it's an 8-inch block with furring, that house, as beautiful as it is,
right,
run away.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's scary when you think about it. You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't know that.
No. And the ones you want, you know, if you're looking for this, these are usually 8 inches by 16 by 8, correct?
Yes.
That's the normally, or they're 4 inches and then they're 8 inches by 16. So that's, and they've got this rustic look on them, and they come in different colors too. You'll see a lot in Chicago area. You see a lot of tans. There's some reds, and those are the two common ones. And then there's also the standard gray that they'll use down the sides where you normally wouldn't see them.
So, and that said, if you already own a house that has this split face block, it's bad. Yeah. But it can be addressed. It's just costly. It needs to be waterproofed with a high quality waterproofing material, which means you may have to tuck point the whole thing.
Yep.
Get rid of all the openings. And then you have to have a very good concrete, you know, made for concrete waterproofing.
And what we do too is we ventilate these. So you'll find at the top of the walls, parapet walls, or even like in that previous house we were looking at, that moisture evaporates and it rises through these cells. And then it gets to the top, and where the roof is sitting on it, it will rot the roof out.
Right.
Because it's not ventilated properly.
Stop the moisture at the top.
So what we found too is if it's a parapet wall, because it's a flat roof, we'll open that up and then we'll put venting in and then reset the capstones. So right. Now that wall can ventilate and it'll dry out the house, and it makes a huge difference.
And back in the day, when you do a factory with block walls, they used to use those, they were glazed wall caps.
Yes.
And they allowed that roof to vent through that cap. You only set the mortar on the side so that you actually had a channel running through that would vent it. And nobody, they don't do that now, not if you build a roof on it, especially the gables on that house.
Yes.
All right. So that's split face block. The next scary animal, drive it.
Ugh.
Drive it, or we call it EIFS, exterior insulation facing system.
Yeah.
It was awesome back in the 80s. It became extremely popular because it's a foam-backed product. So all the shapes on this house typically is done with a foam, and you could easily take foam and carve it to any shape you want. Then you went over it with a scratch coat and fiberglass mesh, and then you went over that with your finished stucco layer. And a lot of that stucco layer was tinted.
Right.
So you almost had this beautifully all done colored home.
Yes.
And we used it.
Yeah, and you could use these corbel blocks. You can do the window frames. This is all done in foam with a quarter inch a layer of concrete over it.
Right. Well, we ran into an issue twofold. So Drive-It in itself, and Drive-It is a brand name. There are other EIFS systems that are very much the same. The product itself is not necessarily bad, so I don't want to get sued by them. It's not necessarily a bad product, but there are applications that should not be used. And where we had issues, do me a favor, go back to that house for a quick second. If you look on that last picture up on the gable end, particularly right there, no, stay where you were zoomed in, please.
Right. Okay, yep.
So if you look to the right of that bump out there where it meets the roof, all the way on the right there.
Yep.
If that edge is not flashed, counter flashed, and sealed, water will get in that edge every time it rains. If any water gets in there and it freezes in the winter, it starts moving everything, right? Nowhere is there in the top around that cornice at the soffit, there is no venting to allow moisture to escape.
Right.
So basically, we're trapping moisture in your wall structure. And again, thermodynamics, more or less. You get water behind that, it's going to get sucked into your house. What's it going to hit on the way into your house? Your studs, your drywall, sheathing, right?
Yeah. And it rots the house out, but it looks perfect on the outside. It might have some hairline cracks in it, but it will look perfect. You won't know any of that's going on.
So, and Drive-It came out with systems. They have drainage channels. So at the bottom of this bump out, there should be a drainage channel, horizontal drainage channel across there that will allow that excess moisture out. They do have those products out there, but even when I used it in the early 80s, my salespeople, my installers were definitely properly not trained on the installation. They just took the fast path, and we ended up with, let's go to your next picture now, because that's what we end up with.
This is what you get. And
yeah,
this house was 10 or 15 years old.
Well, I can look to the right of that house, and it's probably the same system on the second.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood is done in that.
And again, it was not necessarily, it was a bad product. It was just poorly installed for the most part. And this is the damage. So if you see a house, you're looking at a house or live in a house with Dryvit or another EIFS finish, it's really important that you start doing a close inspection.
Yes. And all of this, we could see this all going on with a thermal imaging camera. Mm-hmm. We could see all the damage behind the EIFS.
So, and what happens to insulation when you get it wet? What's its R value?
Zero. And it just mats up and wads up, and you can see how just and the mold was growing in it. And this header was completely rotted out. It was gone. We ended up having to jack up this, hold up the second floor and replace this header because it was so damaged. And then I'll toss one more in there just because.
Because you have one.
I have the pictures. And I mean, we just did another one this summer. I could have pulled those pictures up too. We seem to do one or two of these every couple of years. So this one, as we are taking the Dryvit off, you can see it in the top corner here. It was taking the plywood with it, and there's some of the plywood there. We ended up having to reframe this entire wall.
So, question for you: yeah. You're saying the plywood came with it? Was it? And I can't tell in this picture. Was it plywood or was it OSB?
I don't remember if it was wood or if it was.
Okay.
I think it was wood. Well, no, if you go back to that other picture, it was plywood. Was
wood.
Yeah. So there's some guy I used to do the radio show with that used to call it wood.
So all that damage is from that bathroom vent sticking out the wall, right?
Yeah, no. It has nothing to do with that bathroom vent. And then we were peeling all this off. It was just opening up. We ended all these studs were rotted out. Here's this cross bracing.
Well, that's the thing that scares me. That's your sway brace. That keeps the house from racking.
Yes.
And I never liked those. I mean, I was a framer for a long time, and all we do is snap a line, run the skills, so I'll pound that thing in and throw a couple of 8 pennies in it. Yep. Yes, that's keeping our house from racking.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nope. That's why you use plywood.
Yeah. So,
but this is the damage that the Dryvit can do when it's not properly installed.
And it all has to do with drainage. Nowhere in there do I see any kind of house wrap. I don't see 30-pound felt. I don't. Nope. Well, it looks like 30-pound felt to the right of the window all the way to. Is that 30-pound felt or is that just garbage?
No, that's the backside of the fiberglass insulation.
Okay. So there's no house wrap, no 30-pound felt. They just put the foam up over the sheathing.
Yep.
And went.
Yep.
Yikes.
All right. I should have downloaded a picture of what we did after we rebuilt it. Then we put our house wrap on, taped all the seams, and then we took 1x4 pressure treated.
Oh, you created a drainage plane, you silly person.
And then we put the siding over that so that now there's a drainage plane behind it. And of course, at the bottom, you take screening and or we used to do screen. Now we just do ridge vent. Mm-hmm. Take a piece of the ridge vent, put that at the bottom so that way bugs and stuff can't get up through there, but it allows the air to go through. And then we up it all the way at the soffit. That's all open so that it can ventilate out through the soffit then.
Awesome. All right. So that's our second animal. Our third one. Again, is a brand name, but it's a Wozwood product also.
Oh, what do you got here?
Oh, that's EIFS. This is just we were showing kind of what you the way you're supposed to have it. So the green would be your sheathing. The gray there would be your house wrap.
Yep.
Then you have your foam built up. You have a water stop at the foundation. Then you have your foam, and then your layers.
And then concrete layers.
Yeah, but
you're creating a drainage plane by putting these
rods there, they're the backers. And it was the big thing in those spaces there that don't show really well. But that was the failure that we did when we first installed this. I didn't know any better. There's a lot of stuff. That's why I got so interested in building science. Because I'm guilty of making some of these mistakes, installing windows sort of improperly. But it was the way I was taught. You know, a guy tells you, this is how we've always done it. You just do it. When you start learning building science,
sure.
You start going, all right.
And
there might be a better way to do this.
In the Southwest, this would work fine. It doesn't matter. You don't get a lot of rain. You know, there's not the same amount of issues. So it depends on where you are in the country and whether or not you should be using it. Yeah. I wouldn't have any problem using this in Arizona.
Right.
You know, Western Texas, I'd have no problem because it stays dry enough, long enough that even if moisture got back there, it would eventually dry out before the next rain came.
Yeah.
It just rains too much here in the Chicagoland area and it gets cold. The temperature swings.
Yep. So the next creature we talk about is a Wuzzwood product. It's a man-made product. One of them goes under the name of Masonite.
Yep.
And Masonite is a brand name, but it comes in everything from 1/8-inch thick plywood. You know, pegboard is a Masonite type product. So this is what we're talking about. Well, somebody came up with this brilliant idea that if we make it 7.5 inches wide and 3/8 of an inch thick, we can sell it as siding.
Uh-huh.
And they would literally emboss a wood grain in it and all that. As a product, this is what your house would look like if it was well maintained and everything was in a perfect world. Problem is that all those joints where you cut it to meet the butt joints or where you met those corners, if those corners aren't sealed properly, they start absorbing water. Where we saw the biggest problems were on the rake joints or the rake cuts where the siding met the roof. So up there above that deck, above that front door, or that door where that's meeting that roof,
yeah,
you start getting saw cuts there.
And these right here, yeah.
Yeah, there, and then going up that roof that you can't really see, but going up that roof on the second floor, you're going to have that. So the next picture actually shows what happens when you start having all that water being absorbed by the ends of this siding.
Oh, there you go. Oh, perfect.
So the ends of the board. So you notice the field looks fine.
Yep.
You know, the centers all look good. But where the carpenters had cut that to lay against the roof, it just sucked in water.
It just wicks it up.
Wicks it up. Now, the manufacturer is going to defend themselves by telling you in the instructions, it says make sure you seal the ends.
And you have to stay off the roof 1.5 inches and, you know.
So staying off the roof, yes. This obviously looks like it's too tight to the roof. I'm not going to argue that fact with anybody. But to seal the ends, what do you want to seal the ends with? Are we going to use a rattle can of primer? Are we going to cut the piece and then be out there with a roller with a good finished exterior paint? I'm sorry, none of those are going to work in one coat.
Right.
What you need is something to seal it. And when this product came out, we didn't have anything we could use to seal those properly. Now, we're always doing it I always have a little can of the color of the house is going to be, and we paint the bottom of the boards.
Right.
And you know what? It didn't work.
Yeah.
So that's a siding you want to stay away from. If you can't, if it doesn't look like wood, or if it looks like wood, but it isn't quite wood, you know, if it was wood and should have been wood, but isn't wood today, it surely isn't going to be wood tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's almost like the woodchuck thing.
Yes.
That one very well. All right. So that's probably last one. Now this is a new home, which, I didn't even notice when I downloaded the folder. It's sold.
Yes.
You see that on the permit box? It's sold. All right. So this house doesn't look any different, but here's the difference. This is cement siding. This is cementitious siding. Number of different companies make it, number of different brands, but it's a cement-based laminated product. It's usually 3 plies of a concrete-based material. We've been using it for years.
Yep.
With amazing results.
Yes.
It's thermally stable, doesn't expand and contract 20 feet when it gets hot or cold. Yes. So even though the cement sidings, and they come in not just boards like that for lap siding, they have shake shingles, they have wall panels, they have so many options available.
Yes.
These two will fail if you do not set up a drainage plane.
Right.
These are still not watertight. Now, when we put that butt joint together, we put a strip of flashing behind it so that way any water gets in that butt joint, it goes down to the next piece of siding, not going in the wall.
Yep.
It has to be installed properly. Probably my only complaint with the cementitious sidings are their trim boards. If you're doing 1x4 or 1x6 corners, we have a lot of issues trying to carry them around the job. They just like to break so easily.
Yes.
So you've heard Ron and I talk about the PVC stuff like
AZAC.
Not Miratech, but what'd you say?
AZAC.
AZAC. We'll typically use AZAC for all our trim pieces because they're stable. You can carry them around. You know what I mean? They come white and stay white. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But if you mix AZAC and the cement products, you're going to have a pretty nice house for a long, long time.
Right. Yeah. Look, it comes out really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So pulled up a picture of one of our past jobs that we were doing. Just to kind of give you an idea of what the drainage plane should look like. This is also, this stone is like a veneer. So we have our house wrap on, everything's taped in. And then we put this 1x4 pressure treated wood on to create a drainage plane. And then the siding gets attached to that. So you can see here where we stopped the siding. And all this side, this, all that, all this area here is all has that drainage plane. Here's another example of it going around the corner.
Yeah,
and this particular siding is boral, which is the coal ash. So
okay.
I don't know if you've used a boral. Borals, they started out just doing siding, but now they do a 1x4 up to 1x12. And then they do 5/4, same dimensions. So you can.
Well, and that's a true shiplap there. That's got the bubble in at the top. That's a true shiplap.
Yes.
A lot of people miscall it, but no, I don't, we don't use that. It's actually kind of interesting since I've been down here in Florida and most of ours is all block construction. What I build, we do that with stucco on block. So our drainage plane is actually to the interior. Like we build, we don't use a vapor barrier on the inside. We allow the wall to dry down and in. So it can actually dry both ways. Is really the way it's designed.
So, but at the bottom of this, we have that ridge vent underneath the siding so that any water that does get down there can come and run out. And the other thing is now air can come up through here and rise up and it gets into the, comes out the roof vents. So,
right. And that's what we try to say. So, liquid water is going to be denser, run down the wall, right? That's pretty straightforward. But
correct.
Water vapor is lighter than air, and water vapor likes to travel up. So to get that path, that convection current, to get that water to go up to that vent at the soffit, you need that path. And that's the right way to build a wall. Now, I've seen a couple of others. There's a fiberglass or a plastic mesh you can put up behind your siding that just keeps it 1/4 inch off. There's a number of ways to do this, but that's exactly what you want to do is build that drainage plane and build. Don't pretend water won't come in my house. Let's assume water is going to come in your house. And
yes.
Let's stop it at the outside wall and give it a place to go.
Yes, exactly.
And that house right there, that's just like, okay, how many cement products do we got? We got 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, different versions.
But you do the drainage plane, you pick out the right materials and the right colors, and it can be stunning.
Yes.
And that house, maintenance free.
Correct. Correct. And it looks like it. This is a brick veneer. It's not.
Yeah.
So then they ran the siding up off of that. So a lot of details in this.
All right. I think that pretty much covers siding failures.
Yes.
Whether if you live in a house with some of these sidings, hopefully you can figure out ways to fix it. And, you know, hopefully some of this helped a little why it's failing.
Right.
If you're looking to buy a home and they have some of these products, maybe you would want to have your home inspector focus on looking for those issues that
correct.
Are potentially there.
Yes.
And then, you know, if you're building a new house, don't do it, depending on where you live.
Yes. There you go. So, all right. I'll say with that, keep it square and level.
Until next time.
Until next time. There you go.